Daf is Baba Kama, Daf Tzadi Vav, and we are on Tzadi Hey Amid Beis in Perek HaGozel Eitzim as we continue commenting on the first Mishnah. Before Be'ez Hashem, later today we get up to the second Mishnah here in Perek HaGozel. The first HaGozel, this is called HaGozel Eitzim, because the next Perek, the 10th Perek, is called HaGozel Machil, starts with the same word, but different issues. Okay, so we are up to Amar Leh, six or seven lines up from the bottom. Amalei Ravina L'Rav Ashi. So we were just talking about issues of Shevach, where the Gazlan appreciated the land. Who is the one that gets the Shevach? Does the Gazlan have any rights to it? So we mentioned a Machlokas Tanoim, whether the Gazlan has the rights, or maybe the Gazlan just has a percentage of the rights, that the Nigzal has to give him Mechsa, Shlish, Revia. That was the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether it all goes to the Gazlan, because the Nigzal gets back, doesn't have to get back more than that, while Rabbi Shimon says, no, he just gets a percentage. And we related that to other issues as well. And the last point we made was the name of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, where there were a number of people who got back monetary payments and not land. That was the issues of Balchov and Lokeach Vachulu. So Amalei Ravina Ravashi. Mi Amar Shmuel, Balchov Lulokeach Yav Leshevach. Is it really true? A concept that comes up all over Shas, where somebody sells a property with, or lends money with Achrayis, right, as we had in the on yesterday's daf, about whether Achrayis is Tah Sofer or not. Somebody sells with Achrayis, so we know the law is that if the Malva wants to come along and go take from Lukuchos that bought land in the interim, he's allowed to, as long as his Achiv was earlier. He's allowed to go. So what about getting Shevach from that land? Does he get Shevach from the land? Yes, he takes the land. Does he have to pay back the buyer? Does he have to compensate the buyer for the Shevach? So we just said yes. That's what one of the cases of Shmuel, right? Balchov Lulokeach. So now the Gemara says, is that really true? Mi Amar Shmuel Balchov Lulokeach Yavli Shevach. Does the Balchov really have to pay for the Shevach after he takes the piece of land that is worth more than, let's say, it was when the Lova sold it? Does he have to pay back the buyer? Vi Amar Shmuel Balchov Gobes Shevach. Right? No. Shmuel says elsewhere that Balchov just takes it without compensating. He doesn't have to pay. Just take the land. So the buyer, I'm sorry, but he loses out. So Balchov Gobes Shevach. Answers the Gemara, Amar Leh Lo Kasha. No, there's a difference. Kan b'shvach ha-megi alik tafayim, v'kan b'shvach she'im agi alik tafayim. When does Shmuel say that you have to pay back? That's by shvach ha-megi alik tafayim, by shvach she'im agi alik tafayim. By shvach ha-megi alik tafayim, then you have to pay back. What does that mean? What's shvach that comes up to the shoulders? So three different pshatim right here on the daf. Rashi gives one, Tosas gives two. Rashi says here, bottom line, what shvach ha-megil ha-tafayim, and again, remember what the case is, where the malveh is going back to the person who bought the field from the loveh, and now it's worth more. Their shvach, does he have to compensate that buyer for the shvach that he is now taking? So the Gemara says it depends what type of shvach. Is it magil ha-tafayim or not? So Rashi says magil ha-tafayim means basically fully grown. Fully grown, kigon tvua shegavla kol tzarcha nosulokeach odameha. If it's fully grown, it's somewhat already independent than the land. The land, the balchov could take the land. That's his shibud. But now there's shvach on it. But is the shvach still part of the land or not? Magilak Tafayim Rashi says it has its own independence. And that's why you have to compensate for it. You want to take it, you can take it. But you have to compensate. Whereas Enu Magilak Tafayim, where it's basically just not ripe yet, Tvua, so that's Karka. That's part of the Karka, and therefore that does not have to be compensated for. He just takes the Karka. That is Rashi's shot. Tosfos finds difficulty with that, because Tosfos says the Magilak Tafayim, he's allowed to take and has to compensate. But 1 minute, if it's so grown, so it's like as if ready to be picked, kol ha'omed ligzos kagazes dami, kol ha'omed libaser kibatzer dami, it's as if it's metaltalin, so why is he able to take it at all? Right? Only kark is meshubit. Rashi, you're saying it's so ready to take, so it has independence, and that's why he has to pay back, but the more you say it's independent, the more it's metaltalin, and therefore the Baal Chov shouldn't be able to take in the first place. That's why Tosfos doesn't like Rashi. But if you look in Rashi, not Rashi here, but Rashi elsewhere clarifies the Shita. Rashi in Bava Metzia, Daf Tesvav, says, it's grown, but it's not about to be picked. It's fully grown, but Rashi says, Tesvav Amid Beis, Ibama Mitzia, top line. Magila Ktafayim, Karovli Katser, Elisha Adayin, Tsrichim Lakarka. You're right, Tosfos. If it was totally ready to be picked, so then it's totally dependent, and the Baal Chov couldn't take that at all. But here we're talking about it's ready, but it still needs the ground. Havi luhu kaperas gemurin vein Baal Chov gova osa below yitzia. And the Baal Chov has to pay back the buyer in that case. But either way, that is all shot number one. What is Magilah Tefayim and not? Rashi, whether it's fully grown or not. Tosfos, though, gives two other pshatim. First pshat, Tosfos says, is V'yesh Lomar, second to last line in Tosfos. D'shalach ha-magilok tafayim, korei dover shesofo litolish felisa b'ktafayim. Something that you're eventually going to cut and carry with your shoulders. Meaning, shvach, there's two types of shvach. One shvach is fruit grew and produce grew. That's magilok tafayim, so that's what he has to pay back for. Because it's still connected to the ground, but it's fruit and vegetables. But what's ein magilok tafayim? Where you're never going to pick that. What does that mean? What type of shvach is that? So Tosfos doesn't say. The Meiri explains, let's say the tree got fatter. You had a skinny tree, and the lokeach made it a fatter tree. So you're not picking that. It's just shvach that stays. It's appreciated, and it's part of the ground now. So Tosfos says, that shvach, that's karka. That doesn't have to be compensated for. That's number two. And number three, and that also has to do with definition of karka or not. Right, whether it's eventually going to be picked. The third day is nothing to do with definitions, like Rashi and Tosfos first said, Rabbeinu Tama, the bottom line, Magil Tafayim means, did the Lokeach go through a lot of trouble to do it? Magil, he had to schlep it on his shoulders, that's what it means. Dover haba mitorach. If he had to schlep and work hard for it, you got to compensate him for that work. That's Magil Tafayim. Masha'en Kain, the other way. So either way, 3 days in the Rishonim, what is this distinction of Magia and Eino Magilok Tafai. Good. Says the Gemara, third to last line, Amarle answers Ravashi to Ravina, V'hamaisim b'chol yom. I don't like that distinction because it happens all the time. V'kamag v'shmuel afilu shavach ha-Magilok Tafayim. Shmuel allows the Baal Chov to take the karka, and he does not have to pay back. Shmuel never makes him compensate, even shvach ha-Magilok Tafayim. So the chiluk makes sense, but Lamaisa Shmuel doesn't do it. So that's why he has to come up with another distinction. Says Ravashi, trying again, Amale Lokasha, Ha Demasik Bey, Kishir Ara Vishivcha, Ha Delo Masik Bey Ela Kishir Ara. A different distinction. Here is where the amount of the shvach total with the karka equals the amount of the loan in the first place, and here not. For example, let's say somebody, I borrowed 200 shekel from someone. 200 shekel. And then he sells property that was worth 150. And then it's hushbach, and by the time I want to go and take it, it's worth 200. So there I can take the whole thing, because I'm owed 200, and now the shvach plus the karka is all worth 200. I don't have to compensate him, because this is my loan. Where I'm owed less than the total of the shvach and everything altogether, then I would have to compensate, because I can't end up getting more than I am owed. So that's the chiluk, and this is something that is a takana, that's like we said, a takana that's made, that the shvach has to be paid back in certain cases. If you look in Tosfos on the third line on top, discusses what about yorshim? What about yisomim? So if a Baal Chov, you know, betaltli diasvi not mishavti the Baal Chov, but if somebody dies and they left karka and they owe loans, so then the Baal Chov could also go to their children and take it. What's the halacha with shvach there? Do the Yisomim have rights to the shvach, or just like the Gazlan, right, we had over here on Amid Beis, just like we had Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, whether they get the whole shvach or a percentage, do they get that also collecting from Yisomim? That's a machlokas rishonim. Tosfos says, yes, third line in Tosfos, Venira, this big Tosfos. Degam miyasmi, gavi balchov ha-shevach b'chinam. Also from Yisomim, v'ein nosein damim, k'momen alakuchos. Yisomim are just like buyers. They are not like, what's the other possibility? Mekable matana. A mekable matana, that's not, you wouldn't be able to just take the shvach from. Because he has no shibudim. He has no chovas haguf. That's why Rav Salvechik in the Rishima Shirim here explains the day of of Tosfos. Why would the Yershim continue to have the father's chiyuv even regarding the shvach and have to give it up? And why aren't they like Mekabli Matana? Explains Rav Soloveitchik. We'll have two today from here. Nira Derasa Lomar. Let me just read the key line of Tosfos. A couple of lines down. We continue where we are in the fourth line. Even though the Yershim then don't have anybody to go back to, right? Usually Lekuchos could go back to the Balchov, but they have nobody to go back to. But still, skip five lines. Mikol makom govim in ayisomim mishum dekare daavuho ninu. Because, literally, they're the leg of their father. That's the halachic principle, which means children step into the shoes of their parents. Kara da'avuhon. And therefore, they're different. Even though, misvara, they should be like a makabo matana, and not a buyer. But still, they are like their parents. And that's where Soloveitchik here explains. Deratza lomar, shenosaf l'shibet ha'nachasim chalachovas gavra al hayisomim l'shalim eschov aviyem. They have a personal chiyuv. We always know there's two shalim shibudim. Shibud nachasim, a lien on my property, and shibud haguf. Yadus, halacha, creates a new type of chiyuv. I have a personal chiyuv. My body. Not that I have to give my body, but I have that chiyuv on my head to make sure it's fulfilled. So the Yershim also have that. Shebemecher chalachovas gavra al halokeach. L'shalim, if a buyer buys land, he has to pay the balchov also. Ki yischayev l'shalim achmas achrayis hamocher. You don't have that by matana. If somebody gives a gift, Reuben gives a gift to Shimon, Shimon has no achrayis there. Yisomim domim l'lokeach. Mepnei she yisomim kare davu oninu v'chovas gavra chala aleihem. Again, that's the svara there of Soloveitchik gives for this. For this Tosfos. That is all, though, Baalei HaTosfos. Not all Rishonim agree. If you look in the Rush in the first parak of Bamitzia argues. He says, no, Yisomim are like Mekabli Matana. Because the Maisa, they have no way to get their money back, and therefore that's where they're treated like, just like Mekabli Matana don't have that Achrayas, so too, the Yershim would not have the Achrayas. Good. Let's get back to the Gemara. So, Amalei. So, we're continuing this conversation between Ravina and Ravashi. The two great Baalei HaMesorah that put together the Gemara, whenever Ravina and Ravashi come up, after they're writing themselves, the conversations that took place. Like the Gemara says, Bamitzia, that's the next Masechta, in our travels, towards the end of Bamitzia, Ravina v'Ravashi Sof Hora'a, the language in the Pays, in Bamitzia. Meaning they are the end, like we quoted a few weeks ago, actually, when the word Gemara came up in Gemara, we mentioned that there is a B'Shem V'Gra, that Gemara, why when Ravina and Ravashi were finished, putting together the Gemara, they sent it up to Shemayim to make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees that this will be the Shorish and the Iker of Orah Torah Shemal Peh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent it back down through Gavriel, Michael, Raphael, and Uriel, Gemara, Gimel, Mem, Resh, Aleph, and they gave their Haskama, and that's why we have the Gemara. Okay, but Ravina and Ravashi are talking here, so it's always an exciting day when they are in the Daf. So, the Gemara says, Hanicha Lamanda Amar. This whole conversation fits if you hold I isle lo zuze lo lokeach lo matzi masalik le balchov. There's a general machlokas. Whenever you have one of these cases, you have a lender that's going back to a buyer of property from his loven. So he's allowed to take. So what is he allowed to take? So he's allowed to take something. So there's a machlokas. What if the buyer wants to pay money instead of giving the property that he bought? Can he do that? So that's the machlokas we're referring to here. If you say that he cannot give money, he is lezuzei lelokeach. If you're like the opinion that if he has money, lo matzik le lebalchov, he still can't pay the balchov shopper, then this whole discussion fits. Because what are we saying in the whole discussion? The balchov is allowed to take, and then the question is, does he compensate? That fits if you say generally the lokeach has the lower hand, right? He does not have the rights to pay instead. But if in general the lokeach has the upper hand, if he would have money, he doesn't have to give any of the property. He could just give money to the balchov instead of the property. So then why in our case is this whole discussion sounds like the lokeach has the lower hand? Why wouldn't the lokeach be able to tell the balchov that's trying to take his land, wait a minute, If I would have money, havi misalikna lecha mikulei ara, I would just not let you take any land. I would just pay you the whole amount. Hashta. So now that you're taking, So the shevach also you're going to take and compensate me. Hashahavli giryua da'ara shir shivchai. At least leave me a piece of shevach. If he always has the upper hand, he should at least have some rights here, according to that man to Amar of Matzi Masalik Lebezuse. Right, so that's the question. If he generally has the upper hand, why does it seem like he has no rights here, and the Balchov could take everything and even just compensate for the shvach? So Amarle, not here. Even if you say generally he would be able to pay back to us with money, not here. Why? Amarle, Hacham Mayaskinan, Gondeshavye, Niele Aputiki. The case we're talking about here is where an aputiki was set up. What is that? Aputiki, as we've had this already, potehekoi, Rashi says, that's what it means. It means a specified lien, where the lova says, this land is where you're going to collect from. That overrides the manda amar, meaning the manda amar, even if the manda amar that says you're allowed to generally pay back with money instead of giving the land, does not apply by apotiki. By apotiki, as Rashi says on top, first line, vinami habile zuze lo lokeach, even if the lokeach had money, lo mati masalekle, he would not be able to give that to the Baal Chov instead. Back to the Gemara, de Amar Leh, lo yehe lecha piron, ela mizeh. That's the case, so in that case, for sure, the Lokeach has the lower hand, and that is why the Baal Chov gets to take, and we have the Machlokes, Tanaim, how much the Gazlan, in our case, is entitled to, but related to that, we talked about this case, which is not about Gazlan, just about Lokeach and Baal Chov. Good, we continue. Amar Rava. So now we're going back, as Rashi says here, back to the original Machlokas Tanan that we just referred to. When a Gazlan is Mashbiach, Gazlan steals a piece of land and then he fertilizes it, he works it, now it's worth more. So the Gazlan has rights to that Shvach. He has to give back, but the Nigzal has to pay him back, either the whole amount or a percentage. That's what we said before. So Amar Rava, Gazal b'Ishbiach u'machar. What if the Gazlan sold it before the Nigzal took it back? Or Gazal v'shpiach v'horish, or the Gazlan died, and now it's in the hands of his children, or the buyer. So the question is, does the Nigzal have to pay back the buyer and the Yarshim too? Does the Takana apply to them? Or the Takana of giving the Gazlan amount for the Shvach, or a percentage of the Shvach? As we had, again, we keep the Machlokas Tanoim on Sadi Heima Beis. Machlokas of Yudin and Reb Shimon. That the Gazlan has a certain percentage. So, does that go to the next person in line too? To the buyer from the Gazlan or for his children? Says Rava, yes. Mashishbiach Machar u Mashishbiach Horish. It transfers as well. The rights that the Gazlan had also goes to the person that he sold it to. Rashi also has a second Deya that maybe it's not just talking about the takana of the shvach, but it's also talking about the takana we had two days ago on Sadi Dalam Abbas, that when the Gazlan steals something, maybe he doesn't have to pay back. Ein ruach achalem nocha heimenu, that whole discussion, but in order to, for takanas hashavim. So maybe that's what's being referred to here. Either way, Rashi has 2 days, which earlier Gemara is Rava referring to. By Rava, but next question. Hishbiach lo keach mahu. What about if a Gazlan steals it, then sells it to somebody, and the person who bought it is Mashbiach. So does he have the rights of the Shvach like the Gazlan would have rights of the Shvach? So the Gemara says, sure. Baser debaya hadepashta. Mamach harishon l'sheni kol zchushet av aliyado. What did the Gazlan sell? Any rights that he would have. So the buyer also has the same rights that the Gazlan would have. The Ravid here says, the case under discussion, where the Gazlan sells it and the buyer is Mashbiach it, the Ravid says, that's specifically Lifnei Yeyush. Because it was after Yeyush, there's nothing to talk about. It belongs to the Mocher, right? Yeyush and Shini Rishus, to the Kona, as we discussed in the 7th Perek. Yeyush is not Kona by itself, according to most Amoraim and Rishonim. Yeyush Kedi Lokani. But Yeyush with Shini Rishus is Kona. We had a Machlokas Rishonim. Does the order make a difference? Does it have to be first Yeyush and then Shini Rishus or not? The Rambam says no. Other Rishonim say yes. But both of those works. The Ravid says here, if Yeish happened already, then of course the Kona owns it totally. So it must be here, we're talking about Lifnei Yeish. Even before Yeish, there are rights to the Shvach. So that's interesting. Why is it interesting that the Ravid says that in his commentary? Because he says the exact opposite in his commentary on the Rambam. And the Mepharshim say he must have been Chozerbo, whichever one he wrote later. Because on the Rambam says exactly what the Ravid says here. And then the Ravid jumps to the Rambam and says, how can you say that? At some point in his life, he said like the Rambam. But that's the, is interesting, ha'ara, that the Rambam says it in Hilchas Gezela Perek, Beis Halacha Dalet. Ha'gozel v'shpiachu machar ahorish lifnei yeyush. The Rambam says, that's what we're talking about. Mashi ishbiach horish, u mashi ishbiach machar, the kana lokecho yorish is a shvach, v'notel de meha shvach meha nigzal, u machzir ha'gzela, v'chozer ha'nigzal, v'notel de meha shvach meha gazlan. Shai lonis yayish. He emphasizes that. Says the Ravid, Ra'isi ze'achacham kolek b'shvach shagabik b'chulu. I'm sorry, second. Va'odech richu. Va'afilu hachi lo nahir. U'la'olam anami lachar yeush. U'machar v'horish et shrichale. And he goes through to explain why is it even a chiddush after yeush. But it's interesting that the two Ravids contradict each other. The Ravid in his commentary here and the Ravid al Rambam, must be that he was chozer bo at some point. Good. Va'iter, bo'i rava, second wide line. Hishbiach obid kochavimahu. What happens if a guy stole the property and he was mashbiachit? So do we compensate him for the shvach? So again, that this is not stealing. We're going to learn in the next parak by the Hashem that Gedevas Lachem Zilas Lachem is Aser. But this is not stealing. This is just, I'm getting my land back. You happen to have put in expenses into my land, but it's my land. So there was a special takana. Chazal said, you know what? For a Jewish thief, we will make a takana. What about a non-Jewish thief? The Gemara says, "Amalei Racham Idifti the Ravina." Takata Lovi Kochavim Neku V'Neved. Chazal don't make takanas for a Ovi Kochavim, so that's why no. You just give it back, Maker Adin. Amalei, you're right. That's not the question we were asking. Lo Tzricha Kogon Dezavne Li Yisrael. What happens if an Ovi Kochavim Ganav was Mashbiachet and then sold it? So does the buyer have rights? The Gemara says, "No." Sof Habamach was Ovi Kochavim Harehu Kovi Kochavim. No, he shouldn't have any more rights than the seller to him had. So lo tzricha, okay, fine. This is the question that we're bothered by. Kigon de gazal Yisrael, v'zavna ni'alevish bicho v'kochavim, v'chader v'kochavim v'zavna li'Yisrael. A Jewish thief. And then he sold it to a guy. The guy was mashbiachid. Then he sold it to a Jew. So it was a Jew beginning and end, and an Ovi Kochavim in the middle. So the takana was made for the Jew. So, but here, the Jew wasn't the one that was mashbiachid. So my, mi amrina, and do we say, kiva de meikara Yisrael, v'hadar Yisrael, av the rabban and takanta, there include, this case would be included in the takana. Again, if we would just have this case, probably they wouldn't have made a takana, because it was the shvach of the Ovi Kochavim. But do we say, once they made the takana, for the shvach, for Yisrael, so this case is included. O dilmano, kiva de'ika Ovi Kochavim, be'emsa, lo av the rabban and takanta, teku. And again, the svar for that could be, how much of a low plug is it? Right? How much do you look at the details of the case? If you look at the details, then you would say probably there is no takana here, because it was the shvach of Ovi Kochavim. Or do you not look so much at the details? You look at once it's in the category of the takana, then you should get the shvach. So, teku, we will, Ben Hashem, have to wait for Eliyahu. Amarav Papa. Now getting back to the main topic of our parak, which is shinui. Shinui, right? Remember the first Mishnah. Gozel Eitzim Vasan Kalim, Samer Vasan Begadim. Right, the first Mishnah, Shinui. So now getting back to other cases of Shinui. Amar Papa, Haiman de Gozel Dikla Mechavre Vikatle. You have a tree in your yard that's right next to my field, but it's in your yard. I go and steal the tree by cutting it down. I cut it down, it falls into my yard. So, is that called a Shinui? Now the tree is dead. So, Amar Papa, Haiman de Gozal Dikla Michav Rivakatle, Afagav de Shadye Me Aral Aradide, even though it falls into my property, Lokani, that's not called a Shinui. Rashi says, that's not called a Shini Hashem. Why, my Taima, Me Ikara Dikla Mikri, Fahashanami Dikla Mikri. It was called a Dekel tree, and now it's still called a Dekel tree. It's a dead Dekel tree, but it's still a Dekel tree. And therefore, that is not called a Shinui. Very interesting machlokas. Tosis in the very little Tosis, the Gadol Dikla Dekatle. Tosis says, why is this different than killing an animal? If I shech that animal, that's a Shinui. So why is that different than cutting down a tree? One line. Afagav de Gazal Behema Vakatla Kani Hasam Havi Shinui Demin Kartfei. It's more Nikar. Killing an animal is more Nikar of a Shinui than cutting down a tree. That's Tosfos. What does that mean? When you go up, if we think of the Kuzari, the four levels of being that the Kuzari has, the domain, the inanimate objects, on top the Tzomeach, on top Chai, on top Medaber, right, the four levels of being, we like to quote Rav Chaim, Rav Achiezer, the Achiezer quotes, He was quoted as saying that one time he said there was a fifth. Right? Domim Sameach Chaim Adaber, Reb Chaim. Right? So he felt that there was a fifth type of Bria, Reb Chaim Brisker. Okay. That was what the Achiezer suggested. But either way, Domim Sameach Chaim Adaber, so Tosfos is saying that when you go from Sameach to Domim, that's not such a, you know, you become inanimate because you're dead, so that's not such a chilek. But going from Chai to dead, so that's a, maybe you're jumping two steps. Right, so maybe that's the chilek. That's Tosfos. But if you look in Rabbeinu Peretz doesn't say that. Rabbeinu Peretz says, this halacha only applies by a tree that does not grow fruit. So if it's not going fruit anyway, so when you cut down the tree, that's not such a change. It wasn't growing fruit beforehand, and it's not growing fruit afterwards. But if it's a tree that's giving fruit, then it's just like killing an animal. That's what Rabbeinu Peretz says. At least he has a day like this. Avalam hayatoin peros v'ksatso she'enu yachol od liton peros nira dehavi shinui kamo harag behema. Okay, kachsha delo hadar, or depreciation that cannot come back. And then he quotes in the other day like Tosfos. But it's a very interesting machlokas. Do we compare cutting down a tree to killing an animal in terms of shinui? Tosfos says no. Rabbeinu Peretz says yes. If it's a fruit-bearing tree, it's just like a live animal in terms of the shinui that happens once one cuts it down. 2 days in the Rishonim. Vayter. So again, cutting down a tree, let's get back to the Gemara. It was a dekel, it's not called a shinui hashem. It's still called a dekel. Vayter, v'dik lavavid kubi. But if it's a dekel tree and I made it into logs, I cut down the tree and then I made it into logs, still lo kani. Hashtamiya gube de dekla mikri. That's still called dekel logs. That's still not a shinui. Gubi vavdinu kshuri, but if I made them into beams, right, I sawed them, I smoothed them, kani, that's a kinyan. That's a shinui. That's shinui kona. Kshuri ravravi vavdinu kshuri zutre. If I stole big beams and I made them into small beams, lo kani. That's not a shinui because I didn't really do much. Avdinu kitsutsyasa kani. But if I made them into boards, which was some type of sawing and really changing them, that would be a kinyan. Again, the root rule, a shinui maisa, kone or not kone, and what's called a shinui maisa. Ambarava, haimandagaza, luliva, vavdinu hutsi. Somebody steals a lulav. And they made it into hutsi, water, hutsi, rashi, sheniskan ale ale menashidra. Right? I separated the leaves. I sold a lulav and I ripped off each leaf. So kani, that's a shini maisa. That's a shini maisa that you cannot retract. Right? You cannot make this back into a lulav. De meikara luliva mikri, vahashta hutsi. It used to be a lulav and now it's just called something else. It's shini hashem. Hutzi vavdinu chufya. If I stole the separated branches already and I made it into a chufya, a broom, which somehow you have to make by cutting the pieces and then putting them together into a broom, kani, that is a kinyan. Meikar hutzi vashti chufya. Because it has a shini hashem and there's no way to undo what you did. But chufya vavdi sharshura, but if I had a broom made out of these dekel branches, and I made it into some type of rope. I tied them together. Lokani, that's not a kinyan. My time of the hadar saser levavi chufya. I could just redo what I did. I can make it back, and I can untie the pieces from each other, and it would be undone. Right? It's shinui hachozer lebir yaso. Boy, Rav Papa, nechloka tiyomes mahu. What happens if the tiyomes is split? What does this mean? Nechlaka tiyomes. So Rashi and Tosfos and all the Rishonim, the Rashba here, try to figure out, does this phrase of nechlaka tiyomes mean the same thing that it means in Masechta Sukkah, nechlaka tiyomes? So let's go with that pshat. Nechlaka tiyomes, that the tiyomes, the middle leaf on the back spine of the lulav, is split. If I split it, I seal a lulav and I split the spine. Nechlaka tiyomes. That's what Tosfos discusses. Tosfos then said, it's not 100% clear how Tosfos explains this. The other Rishonim talk about Tosfos too. But Tosfos does say, he has a line there where Tosfos says, well, we have no lulavs like this. So if you need this, it's only 1 in 500 that's going to be a kosher lulav. Look at the line in Tosfos. Uladibrahem, he quotes a tshuva of the Gaonim in Tosfos Nechlaka. Again, it's not 100% clear. We're not going to go through the mitzias of the top of the lulav now, but he said, we're going to just going to get that for Besach HaSukkah. You have to do that. Now we're learning Bava Kama, so we're not just doing the shinui elements. But he quotes in a very interesting historical line, Uladibrahem, lo yimsa lana lulav kasher ki betorach. you wouldn't be able to find a kosher lulav without working very hard. Nimtsa'in osan sheishlam tiyomes kazeh afilo echad behemeos. 1 in 500 lulavs look like this. And that's what you would need. It's very hard. If you look in the Kapos Tmarim, one of the classic achronim on Lulav HaGazel, one of the same author, wrote a sefer, Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, on the last paragraph of Yuma, the Kapos Tmarim on Lulav HaGazel, and Yom Trua on the fourth paragraph of Rosh Hashanah. It's all put together here in the sefer. But he writes, right, he was Moshe ben Chabib, he lived in the early 1700s, he quotes Baalei Tosefes, and he says, they lived in Europe, so they had to get their lulavs imported. But we here live in the Middle East. We have plenty of these lulavs. It's not a problem. He says, the Lamed Beis Amad Aleph in Sukkah, V'Zeino, Nimsa Ba'artzam Shel HaTosfos, Avo Be'eret Yisrael U'Mitzrayim, D'Shchichi D'Kalim, we have plenty of palm trees, Anu Ro'im, Sherov HaLulavim, Shehem Beleva Dekel, Yeshlem Klipa Duma Mitzad Pnei HaLulav, whatever Tosfos is talking about, we have plenty of them. They don't have it because by the time it goes on the ship and it breaks and it comes, it's all broken and ruined. But we have plenty of these. So what the Gaonim were talking about is not a problem. The Gaonim, right? The Gaonim were in Bavel. They weren't in Israel. So that's what the Gaonim talked about. And even the Baalei HaTosfos, a couple hundred years later, didn't have these lulavim. But either way, let's get back to the issue at hand. Says the Gemara, Boy Rav Papa, Nechlega Tiyomes Mahu. What happens if somebody steals a lulav and then splits the Tiyomes? Tashma. Yomer of Matun, Amr Bishuah ben Levi, Nitla Hatiyomes Pasul. If you just cut off the top of the lulav, that's pasul. It's a pasul lulav, and the Gemara is saying that would also be a shinui for Kinyani Geneva. Nitla Hatiyomes Pasul. So my lav, says the Gemara, Hua Din LeNechlaka. Wouldn't we say the same thing should apply? Nitla to Nechlaka. Why? Top Rashi. The Kivan Din LeNyim Psul Mifsala. Since it passels the lulav, lenyin mikna nami shinui huvakani. So it should be called a shinui. If it's a psul for the mitzvah of lulav, then it should be a kinyan. What if you're not talking about sukkis? What if you're stealing a lulav on Pesach? Right, so Rashi is always talking about in terms of definitions of nechlagan tiyomes. Answers the Gemara, first day, lo nitla shiny. Even if they both cause psul, it could be difference between cutting off the top and just splitting it. Nitzla shiny da chaser le. Nitzla is worse because now you're missing. It's lacking. Or ika da amri, or the Gemara. As the other day, Tashma davar batuna b'shul ben Levi nechlega tiyomes nasa kimish nitlo pasul shmamina. Two opposite days, whether nechlega would be like nitzla or not. Ask Rav Salvechik, why should the psul of lulav have anything to do with shinui kone? What passels for a mitzvah is one context. What's considered a shinui is it chozer l'briyaso? Is it reversible? There are a lot of other rules. Why should it make a difference? So he says maybe it goes into the chakira of the psul hadar by lulav. When we say something is not hadar, like nechlaka, nitzla, that's cut off, that's chaser. But what about nechlaka? If something's lacking hadar and therefore it's pasul. Does that, there are two ways to say it, as Rav Salvechik says here. Is that still a lulav, but it's not hadar, and therefore it's pasul? Or, if it's not hadar, it's not a lulav. It takes away the shame chefza of the item. That's the chakira. Says Rav Salvechik, if you say the latter, then you know why it's comparable to shinui. Because you've changed the chefza. If it's still a lulav, but you have a problem, it's not beautiful, it's not hadar, so then it shouldn't be comparable. So he quotes this as a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam, but he says, this Gemara, the fact that the Gemara compares it to Shini Kona, he thinks it's a clear raya that the approach that one should take to Hadar is a psul on the chefsa, and not just a chefsa with a problem. I'll read you the line, L'char misugya yesh raya, shapsul shel hadar chal kafkas hamin. It's a mafkafka of the min, of the chefsa, it's not a lulav. It's not a lulav for the problem. It's not a lulav. When we shabachi avigam shinui gam leinyin gzela, ubekach uberes hashva'a shel apsul mum lemitzvah im chalos din shinui hashem bigzela. Beautiful Rav Salvechik, the chakira of hadar. Good. Let's continue back to shinui. Amar of papa, hayman de gozel afrem echavrei va'avdi leventa. Somebody steals dirt from their friend and made it into a brick. Lokani. Not a kinyan, my time, to hadar, mashir le'afra. Because after you made it into a brick, you can make it back into dirt. You can pulverize it again and make it back into dirt. Leventa va'av. I'm sorry, just one har on that. The Rashba says there, this must be where you didn't use the fire method to make it into a brick. Because if you like used fire to make it into a brick, even when you destroy that, it didn't become dirt again. It wasn't reversible. Maybe if it got baked in the sun, so then it's very brittle, you can take it apart and it can become dirt again. But if you mamish burned it in the kiln and made a brick, says the Rashba, that's not a shinu that could be undone. So the case here must be where you just like packed it together yourself. Leventa va'avde afra kani. But the opposite would be kona. If you have a brick and you pulverized it into dirt, that is a kinyan. Why? My armor, what would you say? Dilma hadar va'avidle leventa? What, you'd make it back into a brick? Hai leventa achritihu. That would be a new brick. Upanim chadashos ba'olakan. Right, that's not the same brick, that's a different brick. Right, just like we know by klicheres. If we have a klicheres and we put it back into the kiln after we break it, that's new. It's not tameh if it was tameh before. It's not treif if it was treif before. Panim chadashos ba'olakan. That means a new status. It's borrowed from the context of sheva brachas, but panim chadashos. But that always means a new status. And therefore, here too, a new brick would be a new status. V'yamar papa next try. Hi, man. Somebody steals a piece of silver from their friend. V'yavad zuze and made it into silver coins. Lo kani, that's not a kinyan. My taima, hader avelu naschai, can melt it down again and make it back into silver. Again, shinui hachozer libriyoso. Zuze vavdinu nascha, but if I stole money and made it and melted it down and made it into silver, kani, that is a kinyan. Why? My amrit, hader avelu zuze, I'll make the silver back into money, panim chadoshos bolakan, that wouldn't be the same silver coins. It would be panim chadoshos, and therefore, it is a shinui. Shchimi va'avdinu chadati, if I steal tarnished old coins, and I shine them and make them into new coins. Lo kani, that's not a kinyan. Why? I could just get them dirty again, and it would be the same dirty coins. Chadati va'avdinu shchimi, but if I stole new, beautiful coins, and then tarnished and dirty them, kani, that is a kinyan. My amrit, hadar avilu chadati, why? What would you say? I can make them new again? Meidi yadiya shechmayu. You'll never be able to make them perfectly clean again. Once you stole perfectly clean coins, it will never be undone. Machlokas Rishonim, Tosfos on top. What happens if you stole silver and made it into a silver cup? Is that any better than making it into a silver coins? The Gemara says making it into silver coins is not a kinyan, because you just melt it back down. What if you made it into a kli, a kos? Says Tosfos, that's better. A kos is better than money. Dafka avde zuze, aval asa min hanascha kli, kigon kos shel kesef, kani. Af al gav da hader avelu nascha. Even though you can melt it down again, a kli is different. Delo, right? Gara minasarim asan kelim. So different than boards that make it into a kli. What does Tosfos seem to say? What does he say? A kli has a separate status. Once you make something into a utensil, a kli that has chashivus, even if it can be undone, that is called a shinoi. The Rashba says money is much more chashuv than a kli. What is Tosfos talking about? I don't think a kli is any different. If you're going to say a kli is unique, says the Rashba, you should say money. You could buy anything you want with money. So I don't understand, so the Rashba argues on Tosfos. Veinu mechura be'enai. De'ein lecha chashivas yoser gadol min amatbeya shunase damim alakol. You could buy anything you want with money. So the Rashba says, I don't think there's any difference between making it into money and making it into a kli. So this it's not a problem, but it is interesting. There is another Rashba like that we've quoted in the past, in other contexts. The Rashba in Shvuas Daf Lamites. It's an important Rashba. The Rashba says there a kli has a separate status, a special status. So it's not a stira in our Gemara. What does our Gemara say? The Rashba argues the Tosfos. Don't tell me a kli is any better than money. Right, and if money is no good, then kli is no good. The Rashba is not saying a kli doesn't have a special status. The Rashba is just saying that a kli shouldn't be called a shinui if money is not called a shinui. But the Rashba elsewhere, the Rashba says, what happens if you steal a kli that's worth less than a pruta? Would Bezdin call a din Torah on that? So usually we know, the Mishnayos discuss elsewhere, that Bezdin doesn't sit for a case less than a pruta. The Rashba says, yes, if it's about a kli. Because a kli has status beyond its value. Efshar lomar, de kol kli, kivan shu roi lemalachto, chashivu kapruta v'yasa mipruta, v'yosven alav adayanim. And then he even adds, v'efshar tafilin yin kidushin kain. Wow. If you have a cup that's worth less than a pruta, could you use that for kiddushin? You have to give a pruta for kiddushin. But maybe a kli itself has, because it has usage, it is worth even more than its market value. So he has that possibility. So that Rashba is always quoted. Mori V'Rabbi, Rav Rosenzweig, always loves to quote this Rashba in the context of Kalim and Prutis, because a Kli has a separate, unique status. So is that against this Rashba? You don't have to say it's a Stira. This Rashba is just saying that Tosfos, no, a Kli is no different than money. If you make money and it's not called a Shinui, so if you make a Kli, it's not called a Shinui. Even though, you're right, I'll agree that a Kli has special status. But in this context, that special status would not have any ramifications. Okay, but either way, it's Machlokas Tosfos in the Rashba. Vaiter, two dots. Zeh klal. As we see here, Rabosai, Baba Kama, every daf is just, it's just jam-packed, and we shouldn't think it's Baba Kama. Baba Kama, Baba Matzia, Baba Vasra, Sanhedrin, Makas, I mean, Baruch Hashem, there's no let-up. Zeh klal. Kala gazlana mishalom kshas lakzela. Lasuye mai. So the Mishnah, back in the beginning of the parak, had said, a gazlan always pays kshas lakzela because of shini kone. What is that including? That extra general line, la suya, it includes the case we had in the seventh parak. De ama rebi la, gona tlev nasa ayel egam nasa shar. It includes a shinui that happens memela. You seal an animal and the animal matures into an older animal. Naasa shinui biyado ukinao. The shinui occurred and there's a kinyan. The god of his kona it, tabachu machar, and therefore if the god of then steals or sells it or shechs it, shelo tovei shelo mocher. He's not chayav dal v'hei because it's his animal. There was already a shinui. That's what Rabbi Loa said. We discuss there the shita of Rashi. Rashi says the same thing here. One little word in Rashi which makes a major statement. Rashi says here, nasa shini biyado v'knao likach dim tavachu machar shelo tovei shelo mocher. What is Rashi saying? It's not a general shini kone for everything. Lekach, for this halacha, regarding dalet vehei, it's different. Rashi said the same thing there. And the Rishonim picked up on it. The later Rishonim picked up on this Rashi. Rashi is limiting this Rebbe law. It's a shinui dememela. It's not a shini maisa that I smash something. That's the highest level shinui. Shini dememela is a lower level. Remember the Tosfos Rid said a few days ago? Tosfos Rid said shini dememela might work by Gezel, but it wouldn't work by Esnan. Right, by Esnan, you would still say shinui d'meila, you're not allowed to give. So there's not the same type of shinui. But that's what Rashi again here says. It's shinui l'ha milsa for this specific issue. The Pnei Yeshua here has a kasha, which all the achronim after try to answer. The Mishnah here, what did the Gemara just say? Kol ha-gazlanim mishalim kashas akzela is telling me the chiddush of Rabbi Law, which is about dalet vehei. Dalet vehei, that's only geneva, not gazela. The seventh parak is Geneva. The ninth and tenth parak is Gezela. How could the Gemara suggest that the Rabbi Law, which is a Chiddush in Dalet Vehei, is being Merumaz in this Mishnah? That's a strong question. So all the Achronim try to answer it, but I'll leave it as a question for now. Pnei Yeshua does not give an answer, so we won't suggest one right now. Hahu Gavra, last story. The Gazal Padna de Tremei Chavre. Someone steals a couple of oxen from their friend. Azal Karavu, Karava Zarbu Zara, and they used it. He used it to plow, he used it to plant. Lesof Adrina Lamare, and then he gave it back. He gave the ox back. Oxen. Also, the commentator of Nachman, Armelahu Zilu Shumu, Shavcha de Ashbach. Rav Nachman tells the Gazlan, go pay for the appreciation of your land. Got to pay the Nignav, Nigzal. Armelay Rava. Rava says, what? Turi Ashbach, Aralo Ashbach. He gave back the ox. Veishav Zakzela. Why should he have to pay for the Hanoah that he got? Omar, Mi Kamina Nishai Mikulo. Did I say he has to pay for the whole appreciation? Palka Kamina. Half. Rava says, still, Amale Sof Sof Gezelahu Vekahadra Beina. It's not called Gazlan Mishalam Kshas Zakzela. So fine, he got Hanoah in between, but why should he have to pay for the benefit that he had? Omar Le, Rav Nachman says, you're right. This is not Maker Adin. Lo Amina Lacha, haven't I told you in the Payas Ki Asivna Bedina Lo Tema Limidi? Don't talk to me while I'm in the middle of a court case. To Omar Huna, Chavrein, because Rav Huna, our friend, said, Eloi, about me. Ana Ushvermalka Achi Bedina. I and Shvermalka, which is Shmuel, were a poskim. Meaning, they acknowledge that I give a psak. So let me finish, let me paskin, and then you could ask me afterwards. Hi inish gazlana atikahu bino de iknase. This is an old gazlan, and he needs to be fined. to try to get him to stop doing what he's doing. You're a maker a din. He does not have to pay for the field. This gets into the sugya, if you remember, back in the second paragraph of Zenenev Zelachaser, Zenenev Zechaser, but it's not direct related to the Gzela, because he didn't steal more than the ox. So that is why Maker didn't pay for the ox, but he just wanted to be Kones. Says the Rif, right here on this case. You know what you see from here? Bez Din, throughout the generations, are able to put fines on people, even in Chutz La'aretz. Rav Nachman was in Bavel. So you see here, Rav Nachman is doing this, he's in Bavel, it must be that they're allowed to do this. The Rush quotes the Rif and says that's true, but only Gedolei Hador and Mumchei L'Rabim. Not any judge could put a financial fine on anybody he wants. If you have the greatest of the generations, and they want to institute Knossos, so that's who's allowed to do it, but that's the Rif and the Rush right here. Good. Second Mishnah here in the Parak. Gozal Behema Vizkina Vadaviskinu. So we already referred to this 2 days ago. I steal an animal and it gets old. Avadim and they get old. Mishalim Kishas Akzela. The Mishnah says, you pay Kishas Akzela. Right, that's a Shinui. Shini is Kone. So I pay what the Eved or the animal used to be worth. Rabbi Meir Omer. Ba Avadim Omer Lo Aresha Chalafanecha. Rabbi Meir says, no, by Avadim you can just give back the Eved. Why? As the Gemara said, as Rashi said, there and here, Eved is Kakarka. And just like Karka ain't an exalus, Rabbi Meir says that Avadim are an exalin, so you can just give it back. Period. There is a shita that we mentioned already once or twice in the Masechta, but it has to do with here. There's a Briska Rav. The Briska Rav says, what's the relationship between the first Mishnah in the Perek and the second Mishnah in the Perek? The first Mishnah that spoke about Gozel Eitzim Basan Kalim, and this Mishnah, I steal an Eved and a Behemah and they get old. Says the Griz, based on a problem in the Rambam, which we discussed 2 days ago, there's two different halachas by changes in items. There's the more extreme halacha called Shinui Kone. That's the first Mishnah. This Mishnah is not Shinui Kone, says the Griz, based on his father Reb Chaim. This Mishnah is about the inability to say Harei Shel Chalafanecha. You can't just give back the item because it's not the same item. This is not so strong as Shinui Kone, but you can't say Harei Shel Chalafanecha. That's a different halacha. Again, if we were learning Be'in, we would get into this, many rayas to this, Rambams and Gemaras, but that's the Chiddush of Reb Chaim in the Grach al Rambam. The Briska Rav says it's an Ilchus Gzela, but this is based on the Mishnah Sadi Gimel, the Mishnah Sadi Vav. That's step one. Step one, there's a difference between Shini Kone and the inability to say Harei Shel Chalafanecha. You might have something that's not considered a Shinui, but you still cannot say Harei Shel Chalafanecha. Right, so that's the Chiddush relating the first Mishnah and the second Mishnah of the Parak. It's an important Yesod. But now we continue. The following cases, is this even the second halacha? Gozal matbeah v'nistach, peiros v'yarkivu, yain v'yechemis, I stole money and it cracked. I stole fruit and they spoiled, wine and it became vinegar. Mishalem, kishasak zela. So I have to, that's a shinui. That's a shinui, or I can't say Aresh, or at least I can't say Aresh Chalafanecha, and therefore I cannot just give it back. But if it's a damage that is not visible, matbea v'nifsal, just they changed the currency. Truma v'nitmes, truma became tame. Chametz v'avar lava pesach. Behema v'nisavda ba'avera, it was bowed down to. Osha nifsalom me'algabi ha'mizbeach, or it became pasal on the mizbeach. Rashi says, it got a mum that is not really nikar from the outside. Or Rashi says, and there's a problem how to put these two Rashis together, then Rashi says, most animals aren't going to be given as karbanos, so even if it has a mum, it's not a nikar that it's a damage. Those are two lines in the Rashi on this Mishnah, so it's tricky how to put those two together. But either way, all of these, it's not nikar the damage. Osha isa yotzeli sakel, or an animal is going to have to be killed, it looks the same as every other ox. Omerlo harei shalcha lefanecha. Right, so the Mishnah does not say anything here about Shinui. It has to do with whether it's the same item or not, whether you could just give it back. Omer of Papa, getting back to the first case, the case of the Eved and the Behema, it doesn't literally have to have gotten old. Even if it just got weaker, as if it got old. But what do you mean? The Mishnah says old. A type of weaker depreciation that is not reversible. So really, it's any type of depreciate, not old, but even sick, that is never coming back. The case we just had up above from Rabbi Law. even if you steal an animal and it becomes mature, nasa shini biyada uknao, a shinui has occurred. Tovach umachar, shelo tovach, shelo umocher. And therefore, if you do tficha mechira, you're not chayav dalvehei. Amar lei says, this was Mark Kashisha said this to Rav Ashi in the name of Rav Yochanan. So he says back to him, Amar lei, lava mina lecha, lo tachlev gavre, haven't I told you not to mix up who you are quoting? Hahu mishbeid Rabbi Law itmar. That was Rabbi Law said that, not Rabbi Yochanan. Period. It's interesting though, according to that chiddush that we just said from Reb Chaim and the Griz, why is the Gemara bringing here in Shinui where there's Haresha Chalafanecha issues? Unless Shinui de Memela is closer to that concept of not saying Haresha Chalafanecha. A Shinui Maisa is Mamish, that's something different. That was the first Mishnah. Gozel Eitzim Asan Kalim. Here, it can relate to maybe Shinui de Memela easier than Mamish Shinui Maisa. Good. Rabbi Meir, Omer, Bavadim, Omer, Larisha, Chalfanechas. Let's start the next piece. Rabbi Meir says, no, by Avadim, Evidus Kakarka, you can just give it back. Omer of Chanina, Bar of Dimi, Omer of Rav, Halachak, Rabbi Meir. We pass on like Rabbi Meir, by Avadim, you can just give it back. For Rav, Shavik, Rabbanav, Avik, Rabbi Meir. Rav goes like the Yachid, not like the Tzibur. Amri Mishum the Brisa Ifchatanya. Because in the Brisa, we have the opposite Shitas. We have the Rabbanon holding like Rabbi Meir, Rabbanon of the Brisa hold like Rabbi Meir of the Mishnah. The Gemara at this point assumes the Ifchatanya because Rav has a brisa that says the opposite. Says the Gemara, Rav Shavik Masis of Avik Kebrisa. Rav would pass on like a brisa over a Mishnah. So now, the Gemara says what I explained before. Rav Masnisa Nami Ifchavatani. Rav, because the brisa says the opposite, he also changes the Mishnah. And therefore, in the Mishnah, he has the flipped opinions. So says the Gemara, "Umay time of the Rav, the Afek Masisa Mikami Brisa, Adar Rav and Efek LeBrisa Mikami Masisa." Why does the Brisa have more authority? And he switches the Mishnah sheet because of the Brisa. Switch the Brisa sheet because of the Mishnah. Two answers. We'll do the first one today. Amri Rav Nami Masisa Nifcha Asne. He didn't flip the Mishnah. He had the opposite deos from his Rebbeim. His Rebbeim gave him the opposite Misora. So when he says the halacha like Rabbi Meir, he's saying like our Rabbi Meir. But according to his Misora, that's the Rabbanon in the Mishnah that he got. That is one answer. We'll have to wait with the second answer, B'ez Hashem, when we continue next time. The Chashukei Chemed, by the way, I didn't have time to go through with it, but on the earlier discussion on the Mishnah about the fruit that got rotted, he has a case where, in terms of negligence, I stole fruit and it rotted. So what happens, he has a case where the fire department was negligent and didn't come in time. Are they responsible? Do we say, well, they're wrong, but did they damage? Or do we say because they're hired or they're put in charge by the city, so yes, they are. That's not called indirect. That's direct if they don't come. So he has a discussion of that on this daf. Okay, we'll stop here.